Hi, and welcome to JCB Radio. I'm your host, Cody Powers. With me this week, as always,
Josh Sawyer
and Brandon Thomas Britt.
If you guys hear any noise in the background, we are joined by a special guest. My son, Ethan, is with us today. So if you hear any goos and gahs in the background, that's him just hanging out, having a good time. Pay him no mind. He's just sitting here in the illustrious studios here at the Cody Powers Radio Network. Basically, we kind of took a two-week hiatus with the holidays and all that stuff. We were all too full last week to record a show, and Josh was too busy getting destroyed by old ladies to record one Friday, and I worked all day, so so I guess we'll start with that. Josh, how was your Black Friday? How did that go for you?
It was literally awful. I actually didn't go in the morning until around 12 o'clock, and there were still thousands of people around.
So you didn't hit the 8 a.m.? You didn't?
I hit the 8 p.m. right on Thursday, and started off with Walmart, which was the worst idea ever. I had to park out in the middle of the highway somewhere and run a quarter mile to the store just so I can buy a couple DVDs.
It was bad. I mean, I had to be at work. I came through at 6. So from 8 p.m. to 6 a.m., I mean, I figured it would just be dead. No, that parking lot was full. There was going through town, our small little one-road town, it was a pain. And I was just thinking, I don't understand why this is.
They made it into different times. Like, at 8 o'clock, these certain sales went on. So you got your DVDs and your games and clothes and all that.
So the crap everybody wants was at 8 o'clock.
And then they have bigger stuff. Like, it got bigger as it went. And then at 10 o'clock, you got, like, electronics, like TVs and things like that. And then they still did a 4 o'clock opening for, like, Xbox 360s and Wii's and stuff. So if you really wanted the things that you needed, you had to be dedicated and stand around for 8 hours and wait on them to open up.
Oh God, that sounds horrible.
Sounds terrible. Yeah, it was really awful. Me and my girlfriend went, and it took probably an hour for me to pick up 6 DVDs.
Was it worth it?
No. Four of them for her birthday.
Was that other thing that you're holding on to the Black Friday special?
I did get a Samsung Galaxy S3 from Sam's on the Black Friday special.
Yeah, we weren't price matching that crap. Screw that.
Yeah, it was 96 cents with an upgrade. So it was a phenomenal deal. I went right after lunchtime at work, and he let us off early for a vacation, for a little turkey time. And went right up there, picked it up. There were still a few left. They ran out of white ones, so I had to pick up the blue one. They also had a red one.
The red one's kind of girly, though.
Yeah,
it's
a little girly.
It's glittery on the back.
Yeah. I got a case with my blue one.
It doesn't even look blue from the front.
On the front it looks black, and I got the case, so the white case, because I wanted the white phone, but, you know.
There you go.
While we're on the subject, Brandon, did you have a good holiday? Did you do?
Yes, I did. Not on Black Friday. I got myself a Samsung Note 2. It cost about $300, and it is definitely
worth it. Merry Christmas to you, I guess.
Yes, it is like holding a brick up to my head when I talk on the phone.
I feel like I'm left out of the phone club, but hopefully my Verizon rep will, you know, hook me up with my new phone.
I did hear that they just picked up the Note 2.
I'm on the fence. That came out Tuesday or yesterday. Started shipping on those.
Yeah.
I'm a little on the fence. I don't know if I want. I don't know if I want to go with the HTC 8X or the Nokia Lumia 822, because the 822 is fat. It's not tall. It's fat. It's literally, I mean, wider. But it's still a Lumia. Like, I still don't know if it. I don't know if I'm just taking what, you know, because they're only having the mid-range model. I don't know if I'm just so excited I want a Lumia that I'm just taking the, you know, I don't know if I'm so excited that I want an iPhone that I'm just taking the free one instead of using my brain and, you know, I don't know. But we'll get back to the tech part of it in a little bit, I guess. We'll kick it off with our gaming news 4.5 minutes into West Tennessee's number one gaming podcast. We'll finally start talking about some games.
That's correct.
Number one.
Google search. We were the only one that came up, and I guess it's because I put it in our header on our website.
Yep.
Out of way. Borderlands 2 Dr. Torque Campaign of Carnage came out the 20th. It came out the other day, when I think last Tuesday, the same day that All-Stars, Hitman, a bunch of other stuff came out. I can't honestly tell you if I'm ever going to get to go back to Borderlands. I never finished it, and it's one of those things, like, I don't know if I'm ever going to go back to it. And
I'm in the same boat as you. I almost gave my copy to Josh, but I think he said he wanted to buy it.
Yeah, I uh, I think I'm going to purchase it. I mean, I've been playing a lot of Halo, but I've been real busy, got a new job and everything, so, you know, I haven't had much time for games. The only game I really have been concentrating on is Halo since it came out.
And that has... It's gone downhill. It's lost a lot of players.
Yeah.
Well, the reason is because matchmaking still doesn't work. We talked about this 2 weeks ago, guys. The matchmaking still
They're
does
still having glitches and still
work.
Having problems. And plus the fact that Black Ops 2 came out, so that pulled a little
and
bit
it
of
works.
Weight. Yes. And it yeah.
I think looking at it like Borderlands is in a bad position, I think, because it came out so early.
Yeah.
You know? Like, if Borderlands 2 came out the beginning of, middle of October, like, instead of September,
yeah,
you know, we'd be okay, but I just think that I'm not going to go back to it. I'm sure the diehard Borderlands players are super excited about it, but I just don't have the time to play it.
For me, it was kind of like a holdover until
the games
these
you
other
wanted
games
came
that
out.
I
yeah.
wanted
That's how it was
came
for me
out.
As well.
You know, I mean, it was an expensive holdover for a couple months, but, you know.
Yeah.
You play it for a little while, and then all of a sudden you have Halo 4, Black Ops 2, Assassin's Creed. All those came out around the same time.
Some good games did come out last week, though. The new Hitman got a 9 on IGN. I have it. I've not even popped it in the chamber. I've been playing the other game that came out on the 20th. I've been playing PlayStation All-Stars. I got that sent to me, and it's really, really good.
Yeah, it's really fun.
The only thing that I don't like about All-Stars is that all 20 characters are unlocked from the beginning, which I guess is cool to some people, but it gives me nothing
to work towards.
I can beat the story mode with everybody, but I'm not. All I'm doing is unlocking costumes or
which you don't really care about.
Different taunts. I don't care about it. I like the cool thing about Smash Brothers was like you see all these black blocks, and you're like, oh, how do I unlock all these guys? Well, maybe if I beat with Mario, I'll get Luigi. Well, maybe if I do. You know, with Fox, I'll get Falco. Like, there's
yeah, that's
you know,
the cool thing about
that
it.
That was the cool thing about it. The gameplay is great, though. I think it's a deeper fighter than Smash Brothers. But I just don't know that there's enough to keep me turning it on, to keep me trying to unlock stuff when all it is characters and or you know not new characters, just costumes and you know just different random stuff.
Yeah. The problem I have with those games is it seems like. You know, when I'm playing any shooter, when I shoot someone, I know I shot them. But when I'm playing All-Stars or something, it's like, did I hit that guy? It's like, I can't really tell part of the time.
Yeah, and I think the problem is it's one of those things. It straddles the fence. It tries to be super serious like Street Fighter or something like that. And it tries to be super serious like Street Fighter or something like that, but... It's just not. I mean, it
has too much going on to be able to keep track of everything.
Like, yeah, especially on the Vita. That's where I've played it mostly is on the Vita. Like, when I'm getting ready to go to bed, I'll jump in, which is one of the coolest parts about All-Stars. Like, I can jump in, I can play a game in 3 minutes. You know, it syncs with the PS3 some magical wizardry way. I don't even know how it does it, but it just syncs with it. I don't have to... Like, we turned on my PlayStation one today, which I haven't played in two or three days, mm-hmm. but my levels where I've beaten the game with certain characters was there. So it's one of those things, like, I think that the Vita is cool because it can do that, but the screen is just, it's really hard to follow what's going on, especially if things get crazy,
yeah.
or if the screen zooms out. Like, zoomed in, it's fine. Like, if you're all fighting right beside each other, it's fine. But just zoomed out, it's really tough to see where you are and what's going on with the screen, I think.
I think that's always been my problem with handheld games. I've never been a big handheld game player. The only games I think I ever played were the Pokemons.
Yeah, and everybody played those.
Yeah, and I think everyone had a Game Boy that played Pokemon.
Really?
I did not.
You depress me. I'm disappointed.
Disappointed? Pokemon came out, and I laughed. I laughed at everyone.
You missed
I
out.
I laughed at all
you
of you,
out.
And I'm
you,
still laughing.
You missed out.
I'm
you
laughing
out.
Right now.
You missed out. Now, I mean, at 26 years old, you're not obviously missing out, but like as the 13-year-old me would be telling you, you're missing out. Like,
yes.
And I would laugh.
You would be wrong, though.
I might be wrong.
Also, what came out, the final DLC for the final episode for the Walking Dead episodes, the Telltale series came out. I've beaten the other four. I have not even had a chance to play this one. And I know, like, I'm not going to spoil anything, but the way the series is turning, it's not got me. I mean, I guess knowing what's about to happen has got me kind of in a way, not looking forward to playing this game, but wanting to play it. And I won't spoil anything, but it's just one of those things, like the way that story, you get connected to these characters the first three episodes, and then the shit hits the fan in the fourth episode. A certain thing happens to a character, and there's no way to prevent it. It's part of the story. It's just one of those things.
It ruins your life.
It doesn't really ruin your life, but you it's kind of foreshadowing in this world. Something bad is going to happen to this character. And there's in a zombie apocalypse, there's only one thing that could possibly happen to one of these characters.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And it's one of those things that...
Zombification.
Yeah. Zombification is one. But yeah, there's the second one. But that one, I mean, like I said, I'm really looking forward to it. I have not had time with the holidays and with work. It's been crazy for everybody. That's why we rescheduled the show four times this week just to try to find a day that worked with everybody. And we're going to try to get better about scheduling it for everybody, but it's just one of those things. Like, we all got jobs, wives, lives, girlfriends, all that stuff. So, but getting back to it, like I said, Hitman, I've got it in my Xbox. I'll probably play it and have a better grasp of what it is next week. Something that's near and dear to me, is Uncharted. I've talked about it on the show, how much I love Uncharted. And Brandon, if you told me that December 4th I'm getting another Uncharted,
on December 4th you might be getting another Uncharted,
I would be super excited. But the second part of your sentence would make me want to just scream at the top of my lungs.
But you're going to hate it.
If I told you a new Halo was coming out, what would be the one genre you would not want it to be?
Griftball.
No, genre, like RPG, like real-time strategy. It's a fucking card battle game.
Card battle?
Yes.
Enjoy your card battle.
Yes. I probably will buy it for $5, but I probably won't be happy about it. $5 for a card battle
game. Down the drain. Already calling it now.
Card battle. I was so excited. Like, they released it. While we were gone, they released the rumor of a new Uncharted Fight for Fortune. I was like, oh, that sounds... It's got to be a new Vita game. It's got to be, maybe some DLC for the other... It's got to be something.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's a Vita game. I clicked on the link, got really excited, read about three sentences in, and just backed out of the link. And I just sat there for a second. I was like, really? Why a card battle game? That makes no sense whatsoever to make a game a card battle game.
It's a horrible idea.
It's been a rough week for me. The second thing that makes me a little bit disappointed is they announced Dragon Age 3 last week, or a couple weeks ago they announced it. But it's going to be next gen. It's going to be 2014. So we got to wait a while on that. Did either one of you guys play Dragon Age?
That game's been around forever, hasn't it?
Well, no. Dragon Age. You're thinking of Baldur's Gate.
Oh, okay.
Dragon Age came out on Xbox and PC about 3 years ago, and then.
Gotcha.
Dragon Age 2 came out probably spring of last year, maybe?
I played a little bit of it. I didn't play it much, though.
It's not for everybody. Not a lot of people. A lot of people, like PC players, really liked it, but it was kind of dumbed down for the Xbox. Like, the controls
were... Yeah, that's what I played on with the Xbox.
Yeah, and I played it on the Xbox, too, but I just kind of... Like, I liked the story and everything, so I kind of stuck with it. But... I guess we'll just keep rattling off the disappointing news while we're doing it.
Well, that game that you just spoke about,
yes.
What would you give it? 1 out of 10.
Which one?
Dragon Age?
Yeah,
Dragon Age.
Which one? Dragon Age 1 or 2?
The one you just played.
Dragon Age 2?
Yeah.
Dragon Age 1 was better than Dragon Age 2, so I'd probably give... I mean, Dragon Age 2 was Ghostbusters 2. Like, it was good, it was exactly what you wanted, but it just didn't feel the same. Like, it just wasn't... Like, if you looked, I mean, it got me by, I guess, but it wasn't what I wanted, really. Like, it wasn't this great experience. You know, you didn't get to make your own character. You were stuck with this guy named Hawk, who was a tool. Like, it just wasn't... Like, the gameplay was a lot fun. Like, they fixed a lot of the gameplay issues in Dragon Age 2 that made it a lot better. But I think that was the main part for me, was that I liked this, like, making your own character, and you were a Grey Warden. You got to make the decisions. You got to... You know, build your party. If you didn't want somebody to be in your party, you could literally miss 3-4 characters in your party if you just didn't go talk to them.
Wow.
Like, so, I mean, it was really cool, but Dragon Age 2, I felt like just kind of pushed you down the straight line. Like, there was no way around it. Like,
no decision making.
Like Fable versus Oblivion.
Right, and I love Fable. But, yeah, like, it's that structure. Like, Fable's still good, but it's like it it's not what you that same experience that you were looking for.
Right.
And like I said, PlayStation All-Stars, I've been playing mostly. We talked a little bit about that. You guys played it a couple of rounds right before we recorded the show.
Mm-hmm.
I know it like I said, hopefully I can we can get a little more chance where you guys can play it. I know, Brandon, you played the Vita version. Josh, you played the PS3 version.
Looks better on the PS3.
Yeah, lots better. And it's a lot easier to see, too, like we were talking about earlier. And the reason I bring up PlayStation All-Stars is we were talking about like Rush Developments earlier, Josh, about you said something about 2K. I know you read something about what they were saying.
Yeah, they've decided that they are not going to follow what everyone else does. Call of Duty has not missed a year coming out with a game since 2005, I think.
Yeah, that was Call of Duty 2. So.
Yeah, and so every year they pump a game out, you know. It's consistent. You will never, ever have a year that you don't have a game from them. Well, 2K Games has decided that they are not going to follow by that rule. They are going to make quality games, you know, Borderlands, BioShock, all of those games, you know. You're not going to see another Borderlands next year, you know. I mean, it's not a completely, no, we're not going to do this. But they're not going to force a game out the door that is not up to par, not quality, not 100%.
And I mean, I think in a way that's good because you see stuff that's rushed all the time.
Right.
Like, I mean, Far Cry, like the new Far Cry is coming out this year and it looks really good, but it was delayed. Like, they delayed it from, I think, July to December. And I mean, that game got a 9.0.
And even now, for the PC version of that game, when they release it, they're releasing a
day one patch.
A patch before the game's release date. So you already know that you're getting something that's broken and they have to fix it.
A lot of games are doing that, though. Like, Medal of Honor did that. Medal of Honor had issues anyway, but they literally released a 3-page-long patch. Assassin's Creed, same thing. Day one patches. And I mean,
anyone feel like we're starting to pay for betas?
That's kind of what I was getting to, I guess. And we'll move that, I guess, into... We'll come back to the beta question, because that was what I was going to make topic of the week, is kind of unfinished games that we're now, as gamers, paying for.
Right.
So hold on to that. We got two more news things, and we'll come back to that. Josh, what if I told you that there was a Wii Mini? How excited would you be?
Would you be pumped?
Would you be pumped for standard def graphics, no Wi-Fi, no GameCube support?
Would this be life-changing?
But it's black and red.
Oh, snap.
Yeah.
I think on a 1 to 5, it would probably be about a 1.
And we have to move to Canada. December, yes. December 7th, the Wii Mini is coming out, which I don't understand at all.
Yeah.
Thinking
me neither.
It, from the little old lady perspective of going into Walmart, getting your grandson the new Wii, if you... What? That doesn't look like his other Wii. Nintendo's sending a confusing message. You know, even the Wii U commercials, you don't see that it's a new... You just see this tablet controller.
Yeah.
Like, I think they're just confusing their market, and this doesn't help. I don't really know...
People are gonna
like release the original Wii with a bundle. Put Mario or Zelda with it. If you're trying to sell whatever stock you have left, I understand. You know, just do that. But don't make a new system that you removes.
I don't understand how their concept of it was in the first place. You have Xbox 360. When it came out, you know, it was a big bulky box. You know.
Yeah.
And then
right.
The PlayStation 3, the exact same thing. And then, what did it do? You know, a year later, they released...
The Wii wasn't bulky to begin with.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I understand it. I mean, but, you know, they both released, you know, smaller versions with better... I mean, all of them were better than their predecessors, you know?
Yeah, because the new Xboxes have built-in Wi-Fi, whereas the old ones, you had to buy that stupid USB dongle to get it.
Exactly. Right. But we, like... Nintendo's going like the opposite way around. They release a device that has Wi-Fi, it has all of these things that you can do with it, and then they're going to take a step back and take it away from you. I mean, I just don't understand the concept of the game system. I don't know what their purpose.
Who is their market?
Yeah,
that's another thing too. I mean, if you think about it, the reason that I played my Wii the last couple times I did is because, oh crap, Chrono Trigger came out on the Virtual Console. You're removing one of the best features of that console by not allowing it to go to the Nintendo store.
Another question, how much is the Wii console as it is right now?
$150.
And you would be paying $100
But with the $150, there's bundles. There's bundles
exactly.
All over the place for games.
Know.
And
you'd pay $50 more, you would get a game, you would get Wi-Fi, you would get all of this extra when Instead, they're going to tell you to pay $100 for this little bitty piece of crap.
Absolutely. Basically,
that does less.
It doesn't make any, I mean, we'll never understand. And I guarantee you, us sitting here complaining about it, I guarantee you, those things are going to sell like hotcakes. Because people, it's the same reason. People were still, guys, PS2s 3 years ago were still buying those things like crazy. And it makes no sense to people like us. But somebody with a little kid or something that just wants to get them, you know, that buys the little crappy little games from Fred's for them, that buys the $60 Kobe tablet for their 8-year-old, like, just buy Kindle Fire. Just spend a little extra money and give them something good. But people don't, man. And I don't, my mentality, I guess, is different than people. Like, if I'm going to pay for something, I want it to be good versus
buy the real thing, don't buy the cheap knockoff.
I guess that's the...
And why Canada? Of all places, like, are they not even going to release it in their country? They're like, oh, we'll just give this to Canada.
I don't think so, because I think Canada, like, you're thinking, like, that market can't be as big as the U.S. and Japan. Like, that's
no.
U.S., Japan, and Europe, I mean, like, why would, yeah, like you said, why the heck would Canada get it? Like,
exactly.
But, I mean, I guess because it doesn't do Netflix, and I don't think you can do Netflix in Canada. So maybe that's why they're just like, release this here, people won't miss it.
Yeah, no, but even if, I mean, what about all the other things that they'd be missing out on? That they would be like, hey, oh yeah, we can use this.
Yeah, and I mean,
hey guys,
hey, a boot. The Mounties are all raiding their Walmarts trying to get Wii Minis. I kind of hid this news from you guys because I figured you guys would know about it, but I kind of figured I'd spring it on you. December 10th, Halo's new maps, the Crimson map pack comes out.
Oh,
they're gonna have all three map packs out by April 1st. So you got
April Fools.
Yeah, I know, right? So you have December 10th. They haven't really announced their pricing structure. I know if you do the $24, you get all three map packs. So I'd imagine 800 points a piece, or maybe, you know, I'm not sure how they're going to price it. But December 10th is the Crimson pack. The 25th of February is the Majestic pack, and then April 1st, I didn't write down what the other name pack was, but.
If you did pre-order the game, then you were able to pay like an extra $20.
The
and
castle
you got
pack,
the season pack.
The castle pack is what it's called.
And so with that castle season pack, you're able to download all those map packs, or you should be able to.
Yeah, and I know that's going to be a welcome relief to a lot of Halo players keep playing
the same maps over and over.
Yeah,
and
we've been playing consistently, and there's about three maps that everybody picks. So
that's why,
you know.
And it's getting pretty. There's
three
already
out of the
other maps on the game that they're just not putting in there. Like, there's a griffball court. If you go to your maps and look, you'll see there's a griffball court. But there's no griffball playlist, so you can't even play griffball.
Well, don't they usually do griffball like certain times a year? Like they'll do like
they,
a weekend.
They do tournament
of
ball it for the weekends, but in Reach they had a specific playlist just for griffball.
Yeah,
if you want.
But there are several maps. There's like at least three, four more maps that look good that would go in Big Team Battle or into like some of the Slayers that just aren't included in any of the playlists at all.
I wonder why.
I have no idea. They need to add them in. there must be some glitch in those maps.
I just kind of think that they just kind of want to leave it to the fans to decide. Like, that's the cool thing about, I guess, not even Bungie anymore, but 343. Like, Halo's always been a really fan-driven community. So I guess they're just kind of like, well, the fans will pick the best levels, the fans will do this, but people just want the same freaking level. Valhalla. Let's play Valhalla and let's play what's the other one that's kind of in the middle of
Adrift.
Is it Adrift? And what's the one that's kind of like in the wooded area? It's got the you get the scatter shot at the beginning and
has the purple forest.
Yes.
You're talking about that one?
Yes. Abandoned. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like there's a couple of those maps are good, but like after the 60th time you play, and I've taken a break from Halo, honestly. I hadn't really even played it. Like last night I played NBA 2K13 just because I wanted to play something. I didn't want to shoot anything. I didn't want to kill anything. I just wanted to
throw a basketball around.
I just wanted to get, you know, play through the D League because my player's terrible. Ken Levine today, talking about multiplayer, Ken Levine 2 days ago, actually, it was not today, 2 days ago, announced that BioShock Infinite would not have multiplayer, which is a pretty big deal. Because if you remember, they shoehorned BioShock 2's multiplayer all into it. And it was okay. It wasn't the greatest multiplayer I've ever played, but it wasn't terrible either.
At least it was there.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't need multiplayer in my games. Like, Skyrim, don't need multiplayer. Like, you give me a good single-player experience, I don't really want multiplayer. Like, there's people that, co-op would be great in Skyrim. It really wouldn't. Like,
no, not in Skyrim.
No, I'm just saying, like, there's certain games that just need to be left alone. Like, and Bioshock's one of them. Don't touch Bioshock. Don't make it co-op. Don't do it. Just let me explore this world that doesn't make any sense and try to figure it out. You know, basically, we'll kind of go back to topic of the week now, which was, are we essentially, as gamers now, buying broken products that we expect them to fix?
Yes. That's how I feel.
And this has been going on for years. And it's just now, I think, kind of, with the end of the console generation, with them trying to rush out as many games as possible, like, I think we're getting half-finished games a lot of times.
Well, right. As we've, adapted with the console games and the game systems and whatnot, I mean, we're moving closer towards them being, like, essentially computer systems. Like,
yeah,
because,
I mean,
for
a PC gamer, it's not that big of a deal, right?
Right.
Well, like, you're used to update. I mean, you're the only PC gamer I really know, so that's why I'm directing this at you. Like,
right.
Is it that big of a... I mean, are we just, as console gamers, kind of whining about something that happens all the time? Because if you play an MMO, like...
No, it's actually worse on the console than it is on a PC. On a PC, they get those updates to you quickly.
Because they don't have to go through certification and all that crap, usually?
Yeah, I guess so. I'm not sure what it is, but on the console, it takes a long time for those updates to finally come out that fix those major problems.
I guess from my point of view, I just don't know why it's come to this, because, I mean, there's games that are still broken that the publisher never fixed. Like, I have every achievement in Ghostbusters except for the one that's broken. Ghostbusters came out in 2008.
And they never fixed it.
Never fixed it.
Well, I think they've moved on.
I understand that, but I'm saying, like, this wasn't broken. This wasn't like... I mean, this was broken day one. This is the one achievement that no one can get.
And no one ever
went back and fixed it. And, like, a lot of games are like that now. Like, I feel like a lot of, like, publishers especially, like, your big games like Medal of Honor and stuff, you're not... They're trying to fix it. Assassin's Creed, they're going to try to fix.
Halo,
Far Cry,
we found some bugs in that. And
they're trying to fix it.
Everybody's already trying to fix it.
But if you buy a game like Darksiders, for instance, when I bought Darksiders, like, it had really bad screen tearing. It was really, like, sharp edges all over the place. And it's
nothing.
Still like that. Like, they just... I guess that's just the game... And I know, like, on Xbox, like, they cost, like, your first patch is free. And I think this is part of the problem. Like, your first patch that you put out is free. But every patch after that, you have to pay for to fix. Like, you have to pay, I don't know how much money to, you know, oh, crap, we put out our first patch, but it broke level 12.
Yeah.
Well, these smaller publishers, do they really want to pay that extra money to fix level 12 for 10% of the people?
They'd rather keep that money and move on and cut their losses.
And absolutely. And games before title updates just worked. They either worked or they didn't.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
And I don't know if changing generations, if it's got more expensive, it's more of a business now. But I mean, you think about games, looking back to games like that were just god awful. Like, I remember playing, like, I remember I was so excited. I think it was Advent Rising on Xbox. I don't know if either one of you guys remember that game.
I forgot it.
Had this $1 million prize. You were supposed to find these little, there was, like, they put symbols in the game through Xbox Live, and you had to go, and there was a chance to win $1 million and all this stuff.
Wow.
It just didn't work. No, and then we all just kind of were like, well, it doesn't work.
And that was the end of
it. Like, but the game worked. That one feature just didn't. Like, the game was okay. Wasn't great. But, like, I guess we just accepted that the game sucked, and we didn't just hope for a patch to fix the problems with game.
Right.
The game
back
just sucked.
That's the way it was.
But, I mean, still, like, you still get games, like, are they, I guess are they, what I'm leading to is, are they releasing products that are subpar knowing that we're patient now? Knowing that they don't have to release a fully functioning product, knowing that the people that buy this are going to wait for a patch. They're going to wait for us to fix it. They're going to wait. You know, if we throw out a free map pack, like if we throw out something to kind of hold, we can ship the product by, we can ship, I keep hammering on Medal of Honor, but this is the one I feel the strongly about, like, we can ship the product 2 weeks before, 3 weeks before Call of Duty, we'll give them a free map pack in December, we'll just patch.
Just not
because the people are going to hold
the right way.
Because the people are going to hold on to it. Like if I'm, you know, if you buy a game, you're like, oh, well, I'm going to get a free map pack. I might as well not just, you know, I'm going to get something free. Like you're not going to just rush to GameStop to trade it in, no matter how bad the game is. If you're thinking, well, crap, I already bought this, I'm going to get something free, I might as well hold on to it and see how that free stuff's going to be, and then when I get the free stuff, if it sucks, I'll trade it in.
Yeah, when I get the rest of the game and try it out.
Yeah. And I mean, what do you guys think about that? I mean, is that...
I think the dynamic between the customer and the company has also changed. Before, we were, like, in command. If they put a game out and it wasn't good, and they didn't sell, then the companies, you know, kind of, you know, veered off. There were a lot more companies, you know, kind of drifted away, or they went away.
Acclaim,
now,
Atari, Sega, like all these people made bad games and got hammered for it.
Well, now, you know, you have these companies that are billion-dollar companies, and if they make something bad, you know, they can do it because you're still going to be there. You're still going to buy their product. They're still going to make their billions of dollars off of you. And what is there for you to do? I mean, you can complain all you want to, but there's still going to be people out there that play it.
And that's the thing. Like Medal of Honor, I know I'm hammering it. I'm going to get off the Medal of Honor train here in a second, but that game sold really well, and it's complete shit.
Exactly.
It sold enough. It made its budget, and it's going
to
keep making money.
And, yeah. And
because if you walk into a store, you're going to go, oh, hey, Medal of Honor, that's, you know, I've heard of that before.
Yeah.
Regardless of how good that game is. And I don't think publishers are taking the right approach because they can supplement their income now. They can make products that are half finished. They can release an iPhone app for Square Enix can release Final Fantasy on iPad for $7 and people are going to buy it.
Right.
And then they can release Final Fantasy 13 and it'd be the biggest hunk of shit on the planet.
People are going to buy it.
People are still going to buy it. And
still going to play it.
And I'm not a big indie game player, but I do play a lot of like the arcade games and stuff, and I think that's where you're getting a lot more of the creativity, a lot more of the people willing to take risks.
Well, Nintendo's still willing to take those risks, but they're taking them in a totally horrible way now.
They're just jumping into like a pit of fire and just
I feel the same way.
But back to the concept of the arcade games. With arcade games, you have companies that could be, you know, five people building a game. And they put everything into this game. And when they put everything into that game, they're going to make sure that it's perfect, that it works fantastic, so that some other larger corporation will see them, then they'll turn around and be like, hey, here's $1 million, make us another game.
You made Fez, you made, you know.
Yeah. But, you know, you have a company like, you know, the Call of Duty company. I mean,
Activision.
They could put out any game. They could put out another Call of Duty.
They put out Black Ops on the Vita, and it's terrible.
They put them out on
selling like crazy. Like,
did you buy it?
No, I didn't buy it.
I mean, and you know that they put them out on every system. They put it on the Wii, and we all know that the Wii's multiplayer online functionability
is horrible,
awful. I mean, it just does not work properly. I mean, it's not built for that, you know. And they still put it on there. It still sold fantastic. I mean, the companies themselves don't have anything to worry about because we're here. So that's why they can put out a big steaming pile of poop.
And a lot of people
buy it.
I know we vote with our wallets, but I feel like there's a lot more, and gaming has changed too. There's not just the nerds in the corner. It's the bros that play Call of Duty and Madden every year. Like,
you got your casual and your competitive,
and it's
gamers.
Changed completely. Like, I mean, they don't have to. Like, Angry Birds, I think that is one of the games this generation that completely changed everything. Because, I mean, if you go into any single store, there's some Angry Birds somewhere.
They sell earrings. They sell necklaces.
I mean,
they sell
on the tablet. I can literally get. I can take a tablet out of the back, put it out on display. The first kid that runs up to it is going to download Angry Birds and put it on their on that tablet. Literally, it happens every single time.
I was wondering why Angry Birds is on every tablet in Best Buy.
Absolutely. Every single tablet. And it's just, it's one of those things, like, that market, I mean, it's the iPhone, and as much as we bashed on Apple last week, the iPhone changed everything, too. Gaming on the go. You were talking about the not necessarily needing a handheld system anymore. You don't. you don't necessarily need it. That's why the Vita's not struggling so hard. The 3DS is just is doing well, but it's just because the Vita is a magnificent piece of hardware. There's no reason it should be doing as poorly as it is.
But yeah, it's beautiful.
It's just doing great. People have no need for it anymore. I mean, with the tablets booming, I mean, you know, everyone has a tablet. And I mean, you can get all the experiences that you get with the Vita on a tablet. And I mean, and the games, you know,
if you think about it, you can get Madden for your iPad. You can get Madden for your Vita. You can't get Call of Duty for your iPad, but you can get whatever Namco's modern, they have the.
But to be honest.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Is it Desert Combat? No, it's not Desert Combat. Modern Combat or whatever they call
modern
it.
Modern Combat,
that looks
Black
great.
Pegasus.
But to be honest, like, I mean, compared to a PlayStation Vita where the screen is as small as your phone screen.
Yeah.
I mean, would you rather that, or would you have
your note screen is literally, I think, the same, is bigger than my Vita screen.
We're checking it right now.
Yeah,
yes,
it's 5.5. The Vita's got a 5.3, or a 5-inch screen. It's got a 5-inch screen.
So my phone has a bigger screen.
Absolutely.
Than your gaming device.
Yes.
Yep.
And that's part of the reason that I think that the portable gaming in general is struggling. But it's I guess publisher not you can't blame the companies. You can blame the companies all you want, but If I'm a drug dealer, right?
And a drug dealer.
Okay,
now.
I'm selling crack to you guys. All right,
we're buying crack.
What's up, crack dealer?
Who's irresponsible? Me, because I'm selling it, or because you idiots are buying it?
All of us.
Like, who's the blame? I mean, the blame is not the companies. If people would vote with their wallets,
so the crack dealers are not the problem.
No, the people buying the crack are the problem. Because if you stop,
if you stop
the people from buying the crack. The crack dealers won't sell crack anymore because it's not making them any money.
It's the same concept with
cigarettes. I can't believe you made a good point out of that.
It's the same, yeah. It's the same concept they're trying to do with cigarettes.
Right.
You know, they aren't going to blame the cigarette companies or the manufacturers. It's not their fault that these people are going out and buying cigarettes and causing lung cancer and dying every day. You know, it's the people that are purchasing them. So they're going to put 15 commercials on TV telling you how bad cigarettes are for you. And it's going to try to convert you from going and buying those every time you go and stop at a gas station to being like, oh, I guess I'm not going to pick them up today. They cause lung cancer.
But I mean
right.
You can't, the only way these, you know, it's all a business. The only way these companies are ever going to see any difference is if people stop buying them. I don't think we're at a point. I think we're at a point where we've reached such a critical mass that they can just churn out a Call of Duty. They can churn out a Madden every year. Make no improvements, and they still won't feel a pinch at all.
Because they're so big now. Well, I mean, it goes back to the thing before where, you know, you have a company that if they put something out bad, you know, they could go down the drain in no time.
Yeah, if we start recording even worse shows than what we did last week, we're not going to have any listeners. It's based on the product that you put out. If it's good enough, people are going to want to listen. They're going to want to invest in your product. They're going to want to get attached to your product. And as gamers, I feel like that the hardcore gamer is shrinking so much. The people that are diehard that read
it's
gaming
not
sites.
That, I don't think it's that they're shrinking. I think it's that the companies are looking and noticing that there's a larger community of those
casual
gamers. So they're they focus on making the games more oriented towards them.
Accessible.
Yeah.
Games
like Halo get ruined. Games like Halo get ruined because it started off as, you know, a tournament game. It started MLG. It was the first, that was the first time they ever started sponsoring people to play video games. That was because of Halo. And they noticed that the tournament players are such a smaller group that they still want to please those people, but they're trying to please that other massive group that is more casual, and so you get a game that's kind of in between because they're just thinking about making money, and you don't actually get that, you know,
that tier one, that top tier product that you could get otherwise.
You get something in between.
Yeah, and I think that was my problem with a lot of games. Like, that was my problem with Fable. Like, the Fable series, Fable 1 was a kind of a mid-range game. Like, they tried to make it easier for combat. Like, I liked Fable 2 a lot, and I know a lot of people really didn't care for Fable 2 and Fable 3 that much. I liked Fable 2 because I felt like it was a little bit different. Like, I felt like they made enough changes to where it was still really, there's the line. I felt like Fable 2 hit it on the head. Like, it was super easy to get into. You knew how to cast your spells, you knew what to do, but if you, you know, you could, the way you did combat would change depending on, you know, like you could be really good at combat or you could just run up and push A a bunch.
Right.
Like there was that, you know, that measure. I mean, one of these skill gap. Right. But I felt like you could still get like the same experience out of Fable 2 because if you're not good at games, you can still get that same experience. And Fable, like, that's one of the only few games that I feel that does it right. Like,
so,
and then Fable 3 went the complete, they made it so easy. Mm. Like they just completely took the little bit of skill that was, that, you know, you felt good. Like, oh, dude, I just did that sweet combo. Like, oh, I just have to run up and hit X a bunch. And then the game slows down and shows me, like, doing this cool move randomly.
Yeah, that's to me, that's the problem, that they're focused on the community of casual gamers instead of the hardcore gamers.
And I don't blame the people that are just, I mean, because at one time we all were casual gamers. We were all little kids. We were all buying, you know, Ninja Turtle video games, Batman video, whatever crap we saw that we liked, you know.
Right.
But those games were hard as shit then.
Yeah, they were.
Like, if anybody that's listening tries to go back, go play Battletoads. I dare you.
Oh, I tried.
Yeah,
go play
some of those old games that were based on cartoon series or based on, you know, Ninja Turtles 2, I think, is still hard as shit.
You will wonder how you beat that as a kid.
As a kid, yeah. And I mean, I seriously can beat, like, going back to Sega, like Sonic, you know, we've talked about Sega before. Like one of the achievements on, so I think it was Sonic the Hedgehog 1, was beat level 1 in like under 36 seconds, and it's really difficult to do. You have to have literally like a perfect line to do it.
Right.
And I've done it before. Like I had done it when I was a kid. Like I knew, like that was one of the things. Like, oh, you know, in the books, can you get under 36 seconds? 36.51 seconds. Can you get under that? Right.
Yeah.
And I did. Like, and I was really proud of it on my Sega. I was like, yeah, I did it.
Yeah.
And then I got the Xbox Live version, and I was like, oh, dude, this sure, for sure.
Surely,
45
now.
Seconds. 50 seconds. I'm like, oh, what made me so bad? And it's because it's just gotten casually easier
and easier
and easier,
yeah,
and easier. And when you get a game that's really hard, like Dark Souls or like even the Ninja Gaidens that came out on like original Xbox that were fucking hard.
Yeah, right.
Like, they either... they'll do well in such a small community, but they won't have that critical mass because, you know, if you go in and buy something like Ninja Gaiden and you just get hammered, you can't beat the first level, you're not going to want it. You're going to take it right back. Either that or you're going to take it to you're going to go to your buddies and be like, dude, that game sucks.
It just spreads.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that game's not good. Yeah.
That game's not good. I can't beat. And it's like, you know, I guess as a, you know, I know we felt like a little old men last time yelling, get off our lawn. We were talking about our, you know, kids back in the day not having internet and all that crap. But I do kind of wonder, like, what's gaming going to be like in the next 10 years? Like, are we even going to have these AAA budget top? Are we going to, I mean, I know the big ones will always be there, like the Halos, the Assassin's Creed, the big games are always going to be there. But what about the mid-range titles? What about the Borderlands, the Darksiders, the Crackdowns? The mid-range games are falling away, and they're all becoming these small little mobile games, and that mid-range publishers like THQ. THQ's in so much trouble. THQ makes good games. THQ makes Saints Row. They make the WWE games. They make the Warhammer games. They make some of the biggest franchises that you can think of. Like, and they're underwater bad. Like, they're I mean, the only hope that they have is Saints Row 4. That's it. That's literally the only hope they have. So, I mean, and you're looking at publishers like that have made games forever. Like, THQ has made games for years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they have the license. Like, WWE's got to be a cash guy. I mean, we don't play those games, but that license has got to make them a lot of money, I would just assume.
Well, I mean, right. You have to imagine all these Southern people that love their wrestling.
Well, I mean, dude, I'm not going to lie. Like, I loved me some wrestling games when I was a kid. WCW Revenge.
That was a good one.
I mean,
like,
if a game
can be good. I don't care what game it is. I'll play whatever as long as it's fun.
Right.
But they're in deep trouble, man. Like, I don't know how Sega has staved off as long as they have, because they haven't released a good game in a really long time.
Yeah, shouldn't they have like gone bankrupt like 10 years
Dude,
ago?
The only the way they're staying in business is like load up your note. Go look how much freaking Sonic is. It's $5.
$5
for Sonic the Hedgehog 3D.
Wow.
$5. That's how they're staying, because you can make a Sega emulator, and that's all they did. They just made an emulator and people buy it. It was like the number three top selling app. That's how companies like that are staying in business, and that's why I think that they'll stop taking those risks on big games, and you'll get all this creativity from iPhone games. You'll get creativity from little mobile games. But that's not what I want, man. I want big stuff like Psychonauts, like stuff. I want them to take risks on these big games.
You want Perfect Dark and GoldenEye?
Well, not yeah. I mean, but you think. You know, that Perfect Dark was a huge risk.
Yeah.
Like, coming off GoldenEye, like, had they not made such a good game? GoldenEye came out 2 years after the movie.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that now. That if that game was not out...
It would come out before the movie.
It would come out before the movie and be terrible.
That's right. All they do now. You know, every game based off of a movie comes out a month before the movie comes out.
Yeah.
On DVD.
And, I mean, that's why they cranked out Lego Lord of the Rings. Because The Hobbit's coming out.
Yeah.
And I'm not excited about The Hobbit at all.
You're not?
No.
I intended on seeing it because Lord of the Rings was just so epic.
Yeah. Well,
I'm probably
going
to
We'll transition away from topic of the week, but I guess going to it that I think that, I guess closing that topic up, I think that I don't know where we're going to be at, and it kind of worries me as a hardcore gamer that are we going down this thing of where I'm going to be playing these, I'm losing out on these experiences because I'm going to have to play them on small screens.
Yes.
Halo on a tablet.
Because Josh has information about something, the IU...
The Ouya?
The Ouya.
The Ouya.
Well,
Ouya.
We'll get to that in the tech, too. We'll pin that up real quick. So we'll skip to movies now. December 4th, Batman comes out on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping I get it for Christmas.
So whoever's listening...
I want either that or the Indiana Jones collection on Blu-ray. But, I mean, that basically the movies, like I know you guys, I said, you know, The Hobbit. There's been lots of trailers for that. The Hobbit, to me, was the worst book. Did you read the books?
No.
Neither one of you did. The Hobbit, to me, I mean, I read, you know, the original trilogy, and The Hobbit, to me, was not great. Like, it wasn't a good book at all. But they're making The Hobbit a trilogy, and I don't know how they're stretching that out. I don't know...
Oh, it's going to be a trilogy?
Yeah. And I don't know how they're stretching out
that one
mediocre book. And I don't care what you say. I mean, I know people love The Hobbit, but that book is not good compared to the other ones. Like, it's the worst book out of the four.
It's on the record. The Hobbit sucks.
The book sucks. The book is terrible.
I think the movie will still be
fine. And I'm sure the movie will be good. Peter Jackson, I have faith. He killed a bunch of horses to get that movie made. So, did y'all see all that in the news?
No.
PETA and or all these, like, they were doing all the stuff, and, like, there was a fire, and some horses died. Like, some animals that they were using just died because they were wearing them out in this, you know. Wherever they kept them, some kind of bad conditions for the animals and stuff. So, like, a bunch of animals died during the filming of The Hobbit. Yeah.
Wow.
That makes me sad. But I'm still going to go see the movie.
Yeah, absolutely. It doesn't matter.
I'm still going to support them, yeah.
So you saw James Bond this weekend, though, didn't you, Brandon?
Yeah, I saw James Bond, not this weekend, but not too long ago. And I believe it's worth seeing, but it's also somehow forgettable.
Really?
Yeah.
But are you a James Bond, like, super fan, or you just kind of fall in the middle of, like...
I just kind of fall in the middle of it.
You kind of just him, but you're not, like...
Yeah, I'm not a huge James Bond fan. Maybe the huge fans will love it, but this one is kind of about him getting old, you know, and losing his edge.
Yeah.
And I figured there would be, like, this point of, like, redemption where he gets his edge back, you know, suddenly, and... It just kind of never happened.
Really? I see the commercials and they say maybe it's time to admit you've lost a step and stuff like that. Like,
yeah.
And I mean, I guess he's getting, but they've done this story already. They've done the you're, and I think it was Die Another Day. Maybe they did the you're a relic. It's not the Cold War anymore. You know, we're fighting. You know, we're not fighting with guns. We're fighting with
Right.
Machines.
Yeah, they're saying he was irrelevant and things like that.
Yeah, and, you know, so I'm hoping that I still have not seen it. I really want to see it. I just hadn't had a chance to go to the movies at all.
Yeah, you'll definitely enjoy it. It's definitely worth watching.
My favorite part, I guess, just seeing the commercials is when the back of the train falls off and he just kind of pops his collar. Like, he just does a little collar
that's
pop.
Even
like,
that's even better on the movie.
Is it?
Like,
okay.
The way that's done is pretty epic. And there's even a part where, what was it from, Dr. No, that the car that shoots the machine guns out the front and all that?
Oh, no, it's Goldfinger's car. I told you wrong earlier. It's Goldfinger's, yeah.
Goldfinger's car?
Goldfinger. It's the silver car, right?
I believe so.
It's a silver DB5.
No, this is an old car.
Yeah, it's a 1969 DB5, I think.
Okay, if that's the one it was, they bring that car back, and if anything brings James Bond back to being how he's supposed to be,
really,
it's when that car gets involved in the movie.
So going from good movies that you saw, Josh, how was your film experience the last time you went to the theaters?
I saw Breaking Dawn Part 2.
Yeah. So did they make you leave your man card when you bought the tickets, or did you have to, is it like the 3D glasses, like you return them and you get them back?
You get them back at the end of the show.
You get them back at the end when you walk out?
No, I mean, the movie, for the Breaking Dawn fans, I mean, obviously they loved it. I mean, my girlfriend wants me to go back and see it with her again this weekend.
Wow. But, that's when you put your foot down and be like, no, woman.
I'm going to save this money. But, no, to be honest, like, for the person that I've seen every one of the movies, and I mean, it's not, they're not awful. I mean,
they're pretty bad. I've seen
they're not like, you know, the best movies ever, you know. But I mean, they're not awful movies, you know. They're entertaining. I mean, you can watch them and laugh at the stupid things that they do and all that kind of stuff. But I mean,
I'm staring at you right now, longingly, for 30 minutes of the first movie.
This movie, like, it was like 2 hours long. And, you know, like, at the beginning, it leads off from where the last movie ended, where she got turned into a vampire or whatever. But the whole system from her becoming a vampire, they made it, like, seem like it was nothing. Like, oh, look, she's a vampire now. And then, oh, look, she can, you know, lift rocks and break people's heads off and all kinds of shit, you know. Like, it just seemed...
Heads are being broken off. I mean, this sounds like an exciting movie.
Oh, well, there's a 20-minute scene in the movie that's
of a
like,
head being broken off slowly.
So there's like, an action scene.
Yeah, there's a big action scene. It's really cool, but you know, at the same time, it's a little bit of a letdown there at the end. I'm not going to give anything away, but you know,
please don't.
Yeah,
I don't even want to know how it ends.
But I also went and saw Wreck-It Ralph.
How was that? That looks
Wreck-It
Ralph. That looks like it would be a really good movie.
I would rather see Wreck-It Ralph than Breaking Dawn. I enjoy 007,
somehow,
but
I'm glad to hear that.
I like Wreck-It Ralph probably more than I will like 007. I would probably buy Wreck-It Ralph. I probably won't buy 007.
Are you serious?
Dead serious.
See, Wreck-It Ralph to me looked like it could go either way. Like, it's going to be this cool kind of slap video game movie. There's going to be a lot of like little nods to stuff, but not. It's not, you know, that we'll get, but I mean, I was just thinking it could go either way. Like, it could be, you know, really good or kind of just be mediocre and forgettable.
It was kind of a kickback to our video game age, you know. It's basically their video game characters that can transfer between their arcade games because they're all plugged up in the same arcade.
Yeah.
It has the new age shooter games. It has, you know, Wreck-It Ralph, which is, you know,
some
ages
random
old
game, I don't remember.
Yeah. You know, and they all interact together. I mean, it has a really good story. It's pretty funny. There are some parts that I really laughed. If I had milk, then it would come out of my nose.
so you put your soda. Had to put the soda away.
Yeah, I had to put the soda away.
Put
the popcorn
you back to your childhood
down
with the nostalgia.
So don't choke on it. But I mean, all in all, I mean, you know, it's a great movie for, you know, I mean. Like, if you were to take your son would enjoy it, you would enjoy it, you know,
so it's
I enjoyed
a, yeah,
it. I mean, it's not like, you know, a stupid, you know, jumping around,
see,
really, really hyper, you know, crazy cartoons.
1 out of 10.
I'd probably give it an 8.
Really?
That's
good. That's respectable.
Yeah.
Give it 8.2.
8.2.
You gave it an 8.2.
7 out of 9. So I guess we'll kind of wrap up. We've been hammering at it for about 55 minutes on our fourth try to record the show because I couldn't get the intro right because it's been 2 weeks.
But we got it.
We got it. Yeah, and I'm a little. We were all a little rusty kind of going into this. We're gonna record another show next week. Kind of gotta get on a more of schedule. We took a little siesta for the holidays. We're gonna have
siesta.
We're gonna have our Twitter accounts and Facebook. Hopefully done next time we have the show. As always, you guys can reach us at jcbradio@gmail.com, on Podbean, jcbradio.podbean.com. We got a lot of stuff in the works too. We've all been so busy, we haven't had a chance to sit down and iron out our plans as far as the website, the different social media outlets we're going to go. But they are coming, so don't never fear. They'll be here soon, hopefully. We've got somebody working on a custom intro for us, Ian Gray. The talented musician that he is building us an intro.
He is one of the best I have ever heard.
Yeah, he's pretty good. So he's going to send us, he's supposedly sending me the intro music soon. I don't know, however long it takes to email something from Murfreesboro to here. But we got a lot in the works. Like I said, we will try to get on a more basic schedule. And if we're not, we should be able to let you guys know through the different social media plugs we're going to have. I'm going to update the Podbean site, and once we get those, that way everybody can kind of keep track. But as always, if you guys have any questions for us, like I said, you guys have been listening to West Tennessee's number one gaming podcast. I'm Cody Powers, signing out with
Josh Sawyer
and Brandon Thomas Britt.
Woohoo!